The reading is taken from Hebrews chapter 11, starting at verse 8 through to verse 19. By faith, Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. By faith, he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was unable to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers on earth. People who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. He who had embraced the promises was about to sacrifice his one and only son, even though God had said to him, "It is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned." Abraham reasoned that God could even raise the dead, and so, in a manner of speaking, he did receive Isaac back from death.
Well, Donald Trump and his team want to make America great again. By turning back the clock, it's not quite clear where to, perhaps the 1950s or the 1980s. And Hillary Clinton and her team also want to make America great again by turning back the clock perhaps to the 1960s. It seems that both sides in that particular fight agree that America is not the way it used to be. They disagree about where to get back to and the best way to get there. But every society faces that temptation to look back to a golden age when things were better. As families, we're sometimes tempted to look back to earlier years when things were simpler and life was easier, although we wouldn't have said so then. When churches come under unexpected pressure or experience new kinds of hostility, society becomes less friendly. It's easier to look back and look back wistfully to an earlier era when there were fewer enemies and less suspicion. As individuals, when we're hurting and we feel as if we're not fitting in, when we're under particular kinds of pressure, we naturally look back to an earlier stage of life when things were better or easier, when life was less complicated or less painful. If only I could retrace my steps, we find ourselves saying. We all know what that feels like. Well, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10 tells us that Abraham was looking forward. It's worth having it open if you've been following the reading. Hebrews 11, verse 10 tells us that Abraham was looking forward to the city with foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By picking out the story of Abraham and another load of other characters alongside him, Hebrews is insisting that these Old Testament stories have enduring value. It's important to teach them to children, but it's important for us as adults to know them, to go back to them, to be able to, if you like, live inside the dynamics of them, if we want to know how to live as believers today. In Hebrews, it turns out, gives to Abraham more verses than anybody else in this famous list of believers. He's the, in a sense, the central focal point, as Hebrews describes what faith is going to involve. Abraham gets 12 verses all of his own as I say, more than anybody else. And we're in Hebrews this morning by way of introduction to a series of Sunday mornings coming up that we're going to spend walking alongside Abraham. We're going to see that he is reassuringly fragile and frail and recognizably under pressure, vulnerable at times. We'll pick up his story next week in Genesis chapter 20, and we'll see how his faith went wobbly under pressure. What Hebrews 11 as a whole is doing is insisting that as New Testament believers, we do all need to go back to these Old Testament stories because of their enduring value in showing us what faith is going to look like in every culture, in every generation, at each stage of life. And it does differ at different stages of life. So for this morning, what I want to do is to have first a look at the story of Abraham's faith and see what Hebrews does with that. And then come on to the shape of Abraham's faith, because Hebrews doesn't simply tell the story. Hebrews puts the story to work in ways that I think we'll find helpful. So the story of Abraham's faith. Hebrews tells the story in two parts, and there's some comments of his own in the middle, and you can see the shape of what's going on from the way it's set out in the Pew Bibles. And Hebrews, if you like, gives us a helpful overview as we go back to Abraham's story. So look in verse 8. By faith, says Hebrews, Abraham, when called to a place, go to a place he would later receive as his inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. Even that seems to me is astonishing. Abraham living in a city, called by God to leave the city, take his family, go to a very different territory, quite a long way away, already occupied by other people, and he didn't know fully where he was headed. God just said, it's time to go, and you're going over there, and I'll tell you when you get there what to do next. And at the center of verse 8, he obeyed and went. Again, in verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents. He was never able finally to settle down, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10, again, he was looking forward to a city beyond the tent, a city with foundations that would be brought from heaven to earth by God. His wife shared this faith. They were able to have children, even though she was long past that possibility. And God used his faith, verse 12, so that from this one man, and he as good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore, even in Wales, we might say. We'll come back to the comments that Hebrews makes in a moment. But before that, we're going to see what Hebrews picks up as the key moment in the later part of Abraham's life and the ultimate test of Abraham's faith. Look across to verse 17. By faith, Abraham, when God tested him, offered Isaac as a sacrifice. It's the most extraordinary test for Abraham later on in his life. He'd waited decades for this boy, had another boy because he was impatient, and God said, not that one, this one. The boy arrives, the boy grows, and then God says, now I want you to sacrifice this boy. How is Abraham to put those two things together? The God who promised that it was through Isaac, and specifically through Isaac, that he'd have descendants more numerous than the stars, more than the sand, and then God says, now kill him. What was going on? What was Abraham to do? How could he obey two apparently contradictory commands from God, a promise that seems to be overruled by an incomprehensible command? Now, Hebrews spells out in summary in just a few verses, 12 verses, what Genesis spells out in chapter after chapter after chapter, 13 episodes in Genesis. We'll pick it up just about halfway through from next Sunday morning. We need both. We need Hebrews to show us that Abraham's life is a life of faith. At the same time, we need Genesis to show us, in a sense, the inside story. What's it like to be inside Abraham's skin as he tries to trust God under all kinds of pressure that we will be able to recognize and understand? So if Hebrews, if you like, gives us the headline, the summary, the whole truth of Abraham from the perspective of 2,000 years later, Genesis shows us step by step remarkable patience in Abraham and very recognizable impatience in Abraham. Astonishing faith an understandable fear, remarkable endurance, and recognizable human frailty. But Hebrews is reminding us that we do need to know Abraham's story in some detail if we're going to understand what faith is, what faith does, if we're going to learn to live forwards as Abraham did, rather than looking backwards, which is a constant temptation to each of us at every stage in life. Someone said not so long ago in my hearing, if only I could go back to primary school, because it was simpler there, it was easier there. There was a person who was in secondary school. But some of us much later can think, oh, actually, it was really quite fun then. It was much simpler then. We all of us have a temptation to look back to an earlier stage in life when it was easier. And Abraham can help us look forward to the future that God has promised for us. So the story of Abraham's faith will become clearer as we go through it, episode by episode in Genesis, over these coming weeks. And Hebrews insists we do need to know the story. But Hebrews does more than simply tell the story, leaving us, if you like, to make of it whatever we choose. Hebrews puts the story of Abraham's faith to work. And while he's telling us the story, he takes the trouble to set out, if you like, the shape of Abraham's faith. And let's move from the story of Abraham's faith now to the shape of Abraham's faith. See, Hebrews is quite clear that Abraham is not alone in his faith. His faith is typical of the faith of God's Old Testament believers, and his faith, if you like, sets the pattern for those who trust in God in every generation. And Hebrews makes it plain that other Old Testament believers like Abraham lived their lives looking beyond the tents where they were living to God's future, God's country, God's city that he'd promised for them. So look in verse 13, if you would. Here's Hebrews in the middle of telling the story, commenting on the, if you like, the significance of the story and the shape of the faith right at the heart of the story. So verse 13 says this. All these people were still living by faith when they died. It'd be great, wouldn't it, if they could say that of you. She was still living by faith when she died. He was still living by faith when he died. It wasn't that he had faith earlier in life and lost it somewhere along the way, or had faith for most of his life, but actually just before the end began to wobble and wonder if there was any truth in it. But no, to be a believer right to the end is what all of us who have faith long for. And look in verse 13, all these people who were still living by faith when they died, they did not receive the things promised. They only saw them and welcomed them from a distance, admitting that they were foreigners and strangers here on earth. Never finally fitting in here, because here is not home. Verse 14, people who say such things show that they are looking for a country of their own. If they've been thinking of the country they'd left, and in their case, they'd left the country of Judaism behind, moved out from, if you like, the shelter that Judaism provide, moved on with this new faith in Jesus Christ that exposed them to all kinds of danger. And Hebrews is saying, look, if they'd wanted to go back, they could have gone back, but actually true believers go forwards, verse 16. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. And therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. Okay, let me underline. Hebrews is not just talking about Abraham's faith and the faith of these other Old Testament believers without a good reason. He's talking about Abraham's faith to help his Christian friends live by faith when they were under fire, and they were increasingly under fire, as he writes to them. And he wants them to discover, and if you like, to hang on to, genuine Christian faith and life, even when that's tricky, and they find themselves under increasing pressure. And even when they're tempted to look back to those earlier years when things were simpler. Someone said to me this morning after our 8 o'clock service, they said, that issue is exactly the issue that we're facing. We're tempted to look back to a period earlier in life when things were more straightforward. We're glad to hear God's word encouraging us to faith. So what does faith look like? Again, Hebrews just skates over this, and Genesis will, in a sense, take us deeper into what faith involves and how faith sometimes fears and faith sometimes fails, but in the end, faith trusts. Hebrews wants his friends to see at least this, that faith means being fully convinced there is an invisible spiritual reality that really exists. And we'll see in Genesis that Abraham shows us what that conviction looks like. And there are times for us when that's easier to have confidence in than it is at other times. But if we've lost someone we love, we want to be confident they've gone to somewhere that is invisible through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ that is real. And that's what faith does. Faith trusts that God can be trusted when he says, come to me, all you who are weary, and I'll give you rest. Rest for now and rest forever. So faith is convinced that this invisible reality that remains invisible is real. But then faith also involves being convinced of the surpassing value of that spiritual realm at the expense of the riches of this world. And you can see that in Abraham's life. He was in a city. He was living there with his family. As far as we can see, he was relatively successful financially. And he was called by God to leave all that behind and go on a journey to a destination that hadn't been revealed to him at that stage. It cost him to believe. He was invested, if you like, not simply in this life, but in the next life that was promised to him. That doesn't mean saying that all God's good gifts in this life are not good and not to be enjoyed. God gives us much in this life that is great, that we can gladly enjoy and receive from him as a good and generous gift, of course. But faith is not invested in this life ultimately. Faith is invested ultimately in the realm that lies ahead that we can't yet see. And then Hebrews wants his friends to understand that faith involves obedience, as it did for Abraham. And we'll see what astonishing cost there was to the obedience that Abraham was called to by God, not knowing where he was going, but definitely knowing he was under instructions from God. And sometimes we find ourselves in situations like that. We know that we have to do the right thing. We don't know where doing the right thing is going to lead. We don't know what the outcome is going to be. All we can do is do the right thing, do the next thing, and trust God for the ultimate outcome, knowing that we can't yet see that. And then you see, we're going to see this again in Genesis, that Hebrews wants his friends to remember that faith involves patience, as it did for Abraham and Sarah. And for them, it involved decades of waiting, trusting that God could be relied upon. Decades of a promise not yet delivered, but finally delivered. Much more waiting than they would ever have imagined could be expected of them. But in the end, God proving to be faithful to them. And sometimes, again, we find ourselves in situations where there has already been much more waiting than we could ever have expected. And it's still not over yet. Well, faith continues to trust. And then Hebrews wants his friends to recognize that faith sometimes, and in Abraham's example especially, involves overcoming apparent contradictions in God's instructions, in God's ways of speaking, where God promised decades earlier, I'll give you a son, then said, no, not that one, this one, and this is the one, and then God said, now kill him. What was Abraham to do in a situation where God had clearly promised him a son and a progeny, a family, beyond counting through that son, and then said, and now sacrifice this son. And we'll see as we approach that story carefully, we get there, what extraordinary pressure Abraham was under in seeking to trust God who spoke in ways that didn't seem to add up. And Hebrews wants his friends to see that faith always involves looking beyond what we can see, stuff that our eyes can see, stuff that our hands can touch. And all of us find that difficult. Christians in every generation, every kind of church, find it much easier to live by sight, by touch, rather than by faith. We'd rather have what we can see and handle rather than what we can't see or get our hands on. But Abraham shows us the way, that when God speaks, his word can be trusted. As we travel with Abraham over these next few weeks, it's also important for us to see what Hebrews does with Abraham and all these other characters in his list of believers. Because where Hebrews is heading is to say, look at Abraham, remember those stories, get inside them, see what it was like for him, and then set him and the rest of them alongside the Lord Jesus. Hebrews is heading in chapter 12 where he says, consider him, meaning consider Jesus. Hebrews says to us, look at the story of the Lord Jesus, ultimately, to see what faith involves. Look at the opposition that Jesus endured. Look at the way in which his faith persisted. See how he died and what his death achieved, says Hebrews. And you can see him more plainly by setting Jesus alongside Abraham. And so Sunday by Sunday, we'll set Abraham's faith and Abraham's very encouraging frailty alongside the Lord Jesus, so that we can see the glory of the Lord Jesus and his undiluted confidence in God more clearly. And that'll help us as we try to be those who learn from Abraham's example. Hebrews 11 verse 10 tells us that Abraham was looking forward to the arrival of a city with foundations, a city whose architect and builder is God. It's God's achievement, God's gift, this future that is promised to Abraham. And so as we head off into Genesis from next Sunday morning onwards, will you ask God to teach us and help us to learn through Abraham, to learn freshly, what does it mean to be a believer? And will you pray that God will use Abraham and his story and the shape of his faith to help us see more of the glory of Jesus, and to grow in faith ourselves, or perhaps to discover a living faith for the first time if that's not yet been our experience. We never really sort of got going in this living faith business. Let's pray that God will use Abraham and his story to lead us. And will you ask God to help us as a church family to live together, facing forwards, looking for his heavenly city? As we sit, let's pray together. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for the way in which Hebrews leads us to Abraham and from him to Jesus. And we pray that you'll help us to learn from Abraham and from Jesus what it means to live looking forwards, trusting in your promises when under pressure and when in crisis, trusting in you when we can't see the way ahead or know what the outcome might be, trusting in you when obedience seems pointless and fruitless, and when patience beyond our capacity is required of us. And so we ask that you will help us to grow in faith, and we ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.